what would the Lord say to us tonight from this book of beginnings? And, you know, just when we may think, according to our own faulty logic sometimes, that, you know, we're over here in some, well, I wouldn't call it obscure material, but it is not, you know, it's not every day that someone asks you to turn to Genesis chapter 29, beginning with verse 31. And then we're going to read a pretty large section of Scripture, and we're thinking, well, what would the Lord say to us tonight from His Word? I don't know, this excites me because I have an idea, having read this, what the Lord would say to us, and He just blesses even when we think, well, this is going to be kind of a mundane passage of Scripture, and this is, I mean, if there's such a thing as antiquity, which there is, this is antiquity. This is going way back. And what God has to say to us is right on time. It's relevant for who we are and where we live, and it's relevant to our hopes and our aspirations in Him and for others. And it also gives us great insight into the problems that are out there in the world, the things that the world system seems to promote, which is the strife and the animosity. And then you go to the Bible, and God gives us a story of the problem with strife and the problem with the feelings of some that, you know, they're that kind of the have-nots, and then God's answer and what He would say to us. So, again, we're in Genesis 29. We'll begin with verse 31, and we will proceed, and I trust we'll get 3 points here. And we'll read the Scriptures. We're going to take the Scripture that goes with each point. We'll go with that section, make the point, and then read on down. So 29, verse 31. So Jacob, he's just served his father-in-law, and he's serving his father-in-law for a bride. So he thinks he's going to receive Rachel. And surprise, he receives Leah. And when he confronts his father-in-law in this situation, he says, you know, how could you do this to me? I mean, of course, Jacob would never think of deceiving anyone as he was deceived here. But Laban says, you know, we're not in the habit of marrying off the younger before the older. Enough of that. So, you know, he had what? Served 7 years for this gal. And now he's looking at what? 7 more. So there we go. So Leah and Jacob, and our scripture tonight begins with, now the Lord saw that Leah was unloved. She was not Jacob's first choice. So he saw that Leah was unloved, and he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Leah conceived and bore a son and named him Reuben, for she said, because the Lord has seen my affliction, surely now my husband will love me. So we'll stop there. There's a period, so we feel that we can stop just for a moment. So when we're reading this, just keep in mind that these sons that are born will constitute the 12 tribes of Israel. This is a big deal. And it goes all the way back to the promise that God gave to Abraham. In you shall the nations be blessed. I will make you the father of many nations. So here is God, you know, what we have to see here is God's unfolding plan. God's plan is moving forward in spite of man's sin, man's short-sightedness in the human wisdom and all that man brings into a situation, God's plan moves forward. And I think that's really important for us to remember concerning the days that we in which we live. Yeah, it looks like things at times are coming apart at the seams, but not to fear and not to be downcast. God's plan is moving forward. And we can have confidence that His plan is moving forward. You're not going to hear that on the nightly news, but you will read that in Genesis 29, beginning with verse 31. God is who He is, and He never changes. He had a plan that was unfolding back then. His plan continues to unfold as we live in the last of the last days and as we look forward to the end of history as we know it and the beginning of history as we've never known it before in the presence of our great God and our Savior, Jesus. So what did Leah say? Oh, yeah, she bore a son, named him Reuben. So Reuben's the firstborn there in that Jacob's sons. And notice, for she said something. She, you know, if people are going to say something, you know they've been thinking it. Because the Lord has seen my affliction, so she has this belief in God, right? She understands the Lord. She says, surely now my husband will love me. She conceived again and bore a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, He has therefore given me this son also. So she named him Simeon. Now, in the original language with each of these names, there's a play on words in the verse. I'm not going to go into all those tonight. Frankly, I'm not ready to go into all those tonight. I can give you one or two. But there's a play on words. So if you were reading it in Hebrew, there's a similarity between a word in the verse and then the name of the son. So the second son was Simeon. She conceived again and bore a son and said, now this time my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him three sons. Therefore, he was named Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, this time I will praise the Lord. Therefore, she named him Judah. Then she stopped bearing. So point number one is that God blesses the oppressed and the despised. That was Leah. She was unloved. God bless the oppressed and despised as He builds His program, as He moves His program forward. Whatever the wording you like best there, feel free. But God blesses the oppressed and despised as He goes forward with His plan. That is great news, right? That the human problem of sin doesn't stop God from Him moving forward with His plan, from Him keeping His promises. God continues to promise and God continues to bless. And the people involved may look unworthy and they may feel unworthy and they may think themselves unworthy, but God's plan goes forward. You know, some people have this come to this conclusion that somehow we got to have some utopia here on earth for God to work and move and get things done. And that's just wrong. I mean, we need to seek God, and we need to be all that God wants us to be. God will fulfill His promise. He will fulfill His plan. He will do that in your life as well. I'm so glad that the first sign of sin in me, that God stopped His work. He didn't do that. He goes through. He follows through. He has a plan. He gets that plan done. That's our God. And I want you to be assured of this, that though the problems in the world and the problems in the world system, though they are of great magnitude, that I want you to be assured that God's even of greater magnitude. And in the other direction, and He will continue to work His plan. So the second portion of Scripture, which is really, it's all a unit, but we'll look at chapter 30, 1 through 13. Chapter 30, 1 through 13. Now when Rachel, so, you know, you got to know, while Leah's having these kids, Rachel's over there. What's she thinking? Well, she's not too happy. I mean, Leah's having children and Rachel is barren. So now when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, she became jealous of her sister. And she said to Jacob, "Give me children or else I die." You see what's going on? There's a lot of strife here. There's a lot of envy. I mean, it kind of goes both ways too, because Rachel probably knows she's loved more than Leah, yet she doesn't have any kids. So she wishes she had the kids that Leah had. But Leah wishes she had the love that Rachel had from Jacob. Kind of interesting how that works. So she's at the end of her rope. "Give me children or else I die." Then Jacob's anger burned against Rachel. And he said, "Am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb?" She said, "Here's my maid Bilhah. Go into her that she may bear on my knees, that through her I too may have children." So she gave him her maid Bilhah as a wife, and Jacob went into her. Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son. At this point, I'm thinking, man not only is filled with envy and strife, man is filled with erroneous ideas of how to get things done. Yet God continues to work. God continues to move. So Jacob has another son by Bilhah. Then Rachel said, "God has vindicated me and has indeed heard my voice and has given me a son." Therefore she named him Dan. Rachel's maid Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. So Rachel said, "With mighty wrestlings I have wrestled with my sister, and I have indeed prevailed." And she named him Naphtali. Now, it sounds like they're in some kind of contest here, right? Like Leah and Rachel, it's a tug of war with who can have more children. An interesting note here: Rachel has not yet born a child. Her maid has borne the child in her place. When Leah saw that she had stopped bearing, she took her maid Zilpah. Okay, so we're back to Leah. And Leah evidently had stopped bearing children. So she took her maid Zilpah and gave her to Jacob as a wife. Leah's maid Zilpah bore Jacob a son. Then Leah said, "How fortunate." So she named him Gad. Okay, so here's one I remember. How fortunate is Begad? And then she named him Gad. Fortune. It's a word play. It's lovely. But what we need to know here is that Gad is the son of Jacob. Yes, born by Zilpah, Leah's maid. Then Leah's maid Zilpah bore Jacob a second son. Then Leah said, "Happy am I, for women will call me happy." So she named him Asher. And we'll stop there. So the second point, God in his grace blesses his people even through faulty human efforts. That's our God. Faulty human, another way to say it maybe is, faulty human efforts do not short circuit God's ability to move his plan forward. Some of God's people have regret over things that they've done, even after being born again. Done things, we've all probably done things we are not proud of as believers. God does not stop at that point working in your life. You can't bring so much disappointment to God that he decides that he's through with you. You are not a paper plate that's just used and thrown away, that God uses and he discards. You are, in his mind, a vessel of honor. And he will go to great lengths to refine us. He will go to great lengths to mature us, to sanctify us, to bring us into greater and greater Christ-likeness. But all of that is under his sovereign care, under his sovereign time, and by his sovereign power. God in his grace. What we see here in chapter 29, there from 31, and then all the way into chapter 30, what we see is God's grace. You can't look at this and go, well, you know, Jacob deserved better. You can't really look at it and go, well, Leah deserved better, or Rachel, or any of them. All of them have their thing. But God has a divine intent. He has a will. And he is going to work that will out. Last section is verses 22 through 24. Same chapter there in chapter 30. This is surprising. I mean, who would have thought this would take place? Verses 22 through 24. We're going to skip on down here. Then God remembered Rachel. God remembered Rachel. And God gave heed to her and opened her womb. Now back there in verse 1 of this chapter, and then in the other, we found out that Rachel was barren. Yeah, there in verse 31. But Rachel was barren. And here, God remembered Rachel. And God gave heed to her and opened her womb. You see the grace there. You see the grace of God. In spite of the envy, in spite of the jealousy, in spite of the strife between Rachel and Leah. And I'm sure there's quite a bit of drama there, right? Because you got the handmaids involved, you've got all this going on, and Jacob's right there in the middle of it. But God remembered Rachel. This is pure grace. God remembered Rachel. And God gave heed to her and opened her womb. So she conceived and bore a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. She named him Joseph, saying, may the Lord give me another son. And we'll stop there for tonight. So the takeaway, the thesis, what have you, is that you and I, so this is a point, this is the point, I think, of application of this passage, of all that's going on here. So what should we do in light of what we've read tonight? We should put away envy and strife. And I'm going to prove this from the New Testament here in just a moment. We should put away envy and strife and accept the fact that God dispenses his blessings in his own sovereign wisdom, justice, and compassion. I couldn't come up with a timelier message for the world that we live in that is full of envy and strife. And a world system that will refuse to accept God, period, let alone his sovereignty, his desire to bless, in his wisdom, and in his justice, and in his compassion. And then we'll turn to Romans 13. Verses 13 and 14. As the Lord brings this teaching to our hearts. Romans 13, verses 13 and 14. This is what Paul wrote to the church in Rome. The unbelievers will behave as the unbelievers will behave. But Paul says, let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy. So that's what we're not to do. What are we to do, Paul? Verse 14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. The flesh wants to compete, wants to strive, wants to be involved with jealousy, and we want to make everything a contest, and it's just time we put away all the striving and all the envy and just accept God's sovereign plan and get with his program. Amen? Amen. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll dismiss. Father in heaven, you're our great God. You're invisible to our eyes, but you are so real. And your involvement in our life is constant. And we give you praise for this. Lord, as we leave here tonight, we ask for traveling mercies. And then as we go to our homes and as we as we get ready to do whatever, whether we're going to bed to get a good night's sleep or whatever we're going to do, we just pray, Lord, that you would give us this great peace that passes understanding, and that our hearts would well up with great joy with the knowledge that not only are you working in our lives, but you're working in the lives of every believer, and even those that are very near and dear to us, those in the church family and those in our families, and then extended families and friends and neighbors, that you are such an awesome God that you bless us by your grace all the time. Lord, help us to recognize that. Help us to continue and deepen our worship of you for that. Go with us tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.